Appreciate everyone coming here and being present on this nice cold Sunday morning. Good to see everybody out today. I appreciate your attendance at this first hour. You know, those of us who are Christians, we often encourage other people to obey the gospel. We want people who are not Christians to become Christians and to allow themselves to be washed clean by the sin from their sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful thing when someone believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and repents of their sins, confesses their faith in Jesus Christ, and is baptized by immersion for the remission of sins. That's great. That's wonderful. Brethren, it is only the beginning. That is just the beginning. From there, we must continue to be faithful, and we as Christians want to continue to encourage other people, not just to become a Christian, but to stay a Christian faithfully and after they are obedient. And John rebuked the Laodiceans in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, and he said, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot, so that because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." You see, they had lost their edge, you might say. They were just going through the motions, as we might say. They were doing what they needed to do, but their heart wasn't in it. They just really weren't into, as we would say in our way of thinking, they weren't into it. They weren't really placing a lot of importance. They had a lack of diligence. They weren't where they needed to be. And we, as Christians, need to guard against that in our lives. We need to be careful that we are not like them and that we don't lose our enthusiasm and our diligence as Christians. Now, there are those who teach that once a person is obedient to the gospel and becomes a Christian, that they cannot be lost. And yet, the Bible does not teach this. And Paul himself realized that he himself could be lost. He says in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27 concerning himself, he says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." And certainly, if Paul recognized that he could be lost, certainly any of us who are Christians could also give up the faith and be lost and go back into sin and apostasy. But in this lesson, I would like to examine some scriptures, first of all, that stress the importance of remaining faithful, and then look at some examples of people who were faithful and to the very end of their lives did not lose their faith, and also to talk about some ways that we can do to help ourselves as well as others remain faithful in service to God. But first of all, one of the places that we see in the Bible where faithfulness is stressed was when Paul and Barnabas went to the cities of Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, and they preached the gospel to these places. And many of the people there obeyed the gospel. And Acts 14 and verse 22 tells us concerning Paul and Barnabas, it says, "Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith." Now, look at this word exhorting. That's what we all need to do, brethren. We all need to exhort one another and encourage one another. It means to build each other up and say, "Come on, let's be diligent. Let's work together. Let's stay faithful to God." And that's what they were doing. Another place in the Bible where we see that it was taught that it is possible to allow the temptations and the struggles of this life to get the best of us and to take us away from God is the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8 and a parallel passage in Matthew chapter 13. But one I wanted us to look at in particular was a portion of that in Luke chapter 8, verses 13 and 14, where it says, "They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in the time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection." It's certainly possible once we become a Christian to fall away, and we want to guard against this in our lives. And one of the things that they talk about in this particular parable was that those who are the type of Christians that just have no foundation. And when something comes along that kind of throws them off, maybe it's a false doctrine, maybe it's something they value and or so on, and so one's influence on them, whatever it may be, they don't have that foundation. They don't have that knowledge base. They're just babes in Christ still yet, and they allow themselves to be pulled away from the truth. And we want to guard against that in our lives by growing in Christ and going beyond just merely milk, but going on into the meat and having a good understanding of God's word. Another thing that sometimes happens and this is what it talks about in the next part of that, those who have thorns in their life, you might say, those who have things that get in the way of being a Christian and that they value more and that they put as a priority in their life instead of Jesus Christ. They are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and as the passage says, bring no fruit to perfection. So we need to be careful about allowing the pleasures of this life, the transient things of this life, get in the way of us staying faithful to God. But one example of someone who was faithful was the apostle Paul writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. And he talks about himself saying, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So it was possible for Paul to have that crown. He knew that if he stayed faithful to the very end, he would have that crown of righteousness. But the good news for us is that we can also have that crown. But in order to have it, we must stay faithful to the end. But he was a good example of someone who did this. And Paul knew that the reward for all of us would make any hardship of this life seem like nothing. He said in Philippians 3 and verse 8, says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He said, this is just garbage. The stuff that I've lost, the material possessions, the prestige that he would have had as a Pharisee, having been educated at the feet of Gamaliel, he could have had a very prestigious, comfortable life, not had to undergo all the persecutions that, but he didn't choose that. He chose to follow Christ. He chose to be obedient to the gospel and follow after Jesus Christ, and consequently had a lot of persecutions come his way. But as he talked about, he'd suffered the loss of all things. He gave all of that up, but he said it's just garbage. It's worthless compared to what the reward will be, compared to the things that he would have. He also went on to say in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, writing to the brethren there, he says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Brethren, what that means for us is it's worth it. We may have to struggle in this life, and in all likelihood we will. We're going to have struggles. We're going to have difficulties. We're going to have things that come our way that try to pull us away, that try to tear us down, trials and difficulties, and yet it will be worth it. It will be worth it. Another passage I didn't put in the PowerPoint, but I wanted to share it with you because we need to realize that we are rewarded, especially in the next life, but also in this one certain ways, because Mark chapter 10 talks about that. And Jesus is talking to Peter. He asks a question in verse 28. Well, we've left all and have followed thee, to paraphrase it, and what was the answer that Christ gave him? He says, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. That's Mark chapter 10 verses 29 and 30. So we have rewards even in this life, but certainly in the next. And what that means for us is, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. We may have to suffer. We may have to give up some things. As he mentioned here, with persecutions, yes, there's going to be struggles and trials, and we're going to find ourselves down in the valley at times. But we need to realize that it's worth it. Another example was Stephen. He was said to be full of faith and of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 6 and verse 5 when he was appointed to see that the Grecian widows were not neglected. And he was brought before the Jewish council and the high priest in Acts chapter 6. We see this in verses 12 through 15. And in Acts chapter 7, he preached a very mighty sermon in the face of danger, knowing that he might lose his life. And indeed he did. He was stoned to death as a result of that sermon. And we see that in Acts chapter 7, verses 54 through 60. And yet, with that threat of being stoned, with that threat of being killed, executed as it were, he still preached the truth. That wouldn't be easy, would it, Justin? Well, knowing that that we could lose our lives, that the group of people listening to us could decide they'd heard all they wanted to hear and they were going to kill us, that he still stood in the face of these people and preached the truth. What courage, what courage. And we can certainly hold him up as a fine example of someone that lived their life faithfully to the end. Another example is some Old Testament prophets. Now granted, these people lived under the Old Testament before Christ came in to the world, and yet they were faithful to God as well as those of us who have lived after Christ. But Hebrews 11 verses 36 through 37 talks about some of the terrible things they had to endure as followers of God. And it says, "And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented." Paints a difficult picture, doesn't it? Paints a very grim picture. And yet these people knew what the Bible tells us, that reward would be theirs, that they would be rewarded for their efforts. And they endured all of this and were faithful throughout all these hardships because they knew life would be better on the other side. And they never even had the benefits of Christianity like we do. And yet they were still faithful to God for the time in which they were. So we say, well, how do we do that? How do we get to that point? Well, let's talk about some ways that we need to work at to get to the point where we can stay faithful. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23, talks about that kind of thing. And he says, "And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard." You know, the gospel is the truth of the word of God, and it has the power to save, according to John 8, verse 32, as well as Romans 1 and verse 16. And we should always be faithful to that doctrine. We do not want to be moved away from that hope. We don't want to let ourselves drift away from it. Also, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13 tells us to hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. You know, there's many people in our world today that hold fast to the gospel until it gets in the way of what they want to do, or someone that's important to them, or something that they say, well, Let's make it. We want to re-examine that just a little bit. And they decide to do what Peter warned about and twisting those scriptures. We can't let that happen in our lives. We don't need to let that happen in our lives. We need to grow in Christ so that we know what's right and what's wrong and stay true to what is right, no matter. You know, many examples we could talk about. Relationships in our lives, people that may become our friends and they pull us away from Christ. We can talk about bad habits or things that we put in front of Christ that I don't want to give this up or that up, or possessions we may not want to give up or that, things that are more important, whatever it is. Any number of things can become more important to us than Christ, and we need to be careful about that in our lives and not allow these things to get in the way. Another thing we need to be diligent about is Bible study. We should grow and feed on the Bible, you might say, and according to Acts 20, verse 28, Paul was admonishing the elders there, and he says to feed the congregation that they were at. And our food is spiritual food. It's the Bible, and we need to do that. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 talks about it, saying, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the thing about us with the word in English, study, we just think, well, we've studied it. You know, we read it. That's it. We're done. That's not what that word means. That word more precisely means to be diligent, to work at it. Get out that muscle and shovel, you might say, and dig through the scriptures and work at studying them and giving diligence. Not just a one-time act and we're done, but rather giving diligence to the word of God and studying it diligently and working at it. Now, someone might say, well, I'm not very good at that. I'm not very good at memorizing scriptures. I'm not very good at just putting it all together and understand. Brethren, you can all learn something. We can all grow to the ability, to the extent that we are able to grow. And we can be diligent about it and should be diligent about it. There's always something that we can learn and something we can gain through studying the Bible. Also, one of the things that's important is attending the services. Hebrews 10 and verse 25 reminds us about that, warning us, saying, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, there's that word, exhorting together again. There it is. We need to do that. We need to encourage one another. We need to say about encourage others to be here, encourage others to attend the services and other events that are going on. Also, Hebrews 13 and verse 17 tells us to obey them that have the rule over you and submit for yourselves, for they watch, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. And that takes care of Wednesday night. That takes care of gospel meetings. That takes care of Sunday night, if we had a Sunday night service. On and on the list goes. Whenever the elders appoint a time that says, we need to be here and study the Bible. We need to be here and worship God, so forth and so on. We're obligated to be there unless we have to miss for some reason. But whatever the case is, they are doing their job and feeding the flock, according to Acts 20 and verse 28, encouraging us and setting appointed time for us to be here and to be learning and be studying God's word and worshiping God, being fed by the word of God. And yet, we need to do our part by coming here. And violating Wednesday night, some say, well, it's not that important. Well, it's still a time that the elders have appointed. So we're disobeying the elders by skipping that out on that. It's important for us to be here whenever we can at all. And also, the fellowship needs to be there. You know, we were talking about exhortation and encouraging one another. And as we talked about there in Acts 14 and verse 22, we've looked at this before. But it says, confirming the souls of disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. It's hard to exhort someone when they're not here. You know, we want to be able to interact with one another. We want to be able to look to each other face to face and say, how are you doing? How are you doing? And encourage one another through trials and difficulties. I know many of you have helped me and encouraged me through some difficult times here in this congregation. I know losing Jeannie was a terrible thing. And many of y'all were there for me. And I can't even begin to express how important that was and how that encouraged me so much. And so I want to share that with y'all, but also just do that for each other. We all need to be there. It's not just that kind of a trial. It's other trials that come our way. Loss of a job, loss of a loved one, you know, other whatever case might be, whatever trial might come your way, encourage one another. We can be here for each other and encourage one another, and that is something we need to be able to do. And it's something that we as Christians can do for one another. And certainly it was encouraging Friday to have all these people here singing from all these different congregations. Wasn't that encouraging knowing that, wasn't it, 27 congregations were represented, knowing there's that many Christians in our area? And I think that's kind of the idea when Jesus was talking about receiving 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children. We had all these people knowing that they are Christians, knowing that if we needed help bad, they would help us. They would be there for us. That's encouraging, brethren. That's very encouraging to have that option to have that there for us as Christians. So certainly we want to recognize how important it is to have those things available to us and that allow it to encourage us to stay faithful. Another thing too is important is our prayers. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 tells us to pray without ceasing. And of course, it's not that we are continually, it's not a literal thing that we never do anything else, but what it really means for us to do is never give up on it and never change that diligence that we give to prayer, that importance that we place upon it in our lives, to continually pray on a regular basis. To don't give up on it. Don't say, well, it's not working, so, you know, we'll just quit. What's the point? That's what that verse is talking about. Don't do that. Continue to pray. Continue to offer your praises to God and your requests to God and your thanks to God. We should pray to God on a regular basis. You know, one indicator of someone who is slipping away happens a lot of times before we know it, but it happens in their prayer life. Their prayers begin to get fewer and fewer. They decide, we'll skip it today. Maybe we'll skip it tomorrow. I don't know. We may not know that right away. We may not realize that they are slipping away in their prayers, but they do. And that's why we need to be careful to encourage people, but we need to, as individual Christians, we each need to do what a passage talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. In other words, put your own self to the test. That's one of the indicators is our prayer life. And there are others, of course, attendance and so on. But when we begin to stop praying, when we begin to slip away and reduce the diligence that we put in our prayers, the thoughts and the processes that go into our prayers, the frequency of our prayers, when we allow our prayer life to slip, that's the first step, brethren, in the wrong direction. We need to turn it around. We need to turn it around. We need to examine ourselves on a regular basis. Think about where we are at as Christians and stay true to God in that respect as well as others. But also, one thing to think about, Paul told Timothy to do something that all of us can do, brethren, and that set a good example. He said in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, it says, be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith in purity. You know, just because someone isn't able to teach a class, maybe they can't stand up and lead a public prayer, maybe they can't lead singing on and on, doesn't mean they can't live a good example for others to follow. We can all set a good example for those around about us to see, well, that person's different. That person is a Christian, and they're living their lives in such a way that's different than some of the others that we see in the world. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. You know, as Christians, we should all be able to say that. All of us should be able to say, I'm following Christ, so why don't you follow me? And we'll all go down that narrow road that leads to eternal life. The best sermons, brethren, are ever preached are those that have deeds instead of words. We can teach many great lessons just by our examples, the way that we live. Also, 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 2. Anyone has that, you know, we've all heard that expression, we are the only Bible that some people read. Well, this is a good verse for that. It mentions the epistles. It says, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. How do they read that epistle if it's written in our hearts? Well, they don't physically. They read it by our example. That's the idea. They read the epistle written in our hearts because they see the way we live. They see that we live in Christ. They see that we our priorities are such that we do those things that are right and pleasing in the sight of God, that we study the Bible, that we obey it to the best of our ability, and so on. You know, maybe they haven't read the epistles of Paul or Peter, but they can still learn what's in them by watching this. They can still learn what the Bible has to say about any number of things, about how we should live, how we should worship, how we should conduct our lives, and so forth and so on. If they see us living that out, they are in one sense reading that epistle that Paul wrote, the epistle that Peter wrote, and so on and so forth. So we can set a good example. We may not be able to do some other things, but we can certainly set a good example for others to follow. So as Christians, we need to be faithful. We need to remain faithful in our service to God and to be saved in the end. We should see the importance from the scriptures of being faithful, follow some examples that we find in the Bible, and keep in mind that we still have to start that path. We still have to go down that road as far as beginning it. So it may be that someone's here today that has not started down that path. We certainly, as we talked about in the very beginning of this lesson, want to encourage you to do so. In faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of sins, we want you to become a Christian as well as continuing to be a faithful Christian. It may be also that someone once became a Christian, but they strayed away. They have allowed some of these things to tear them down, to pull them down, to take them away. And we want to encourage you to come back to your first love if you'd like to do so. We'd be glad to help you in any way if you'll let your needs be known as we stand and sing the encouragement song.